Good morning, Ruby. Good morning. As we explained last week, there are three haftarot of punishment and suffering that we read during the three weeks. Last week was the haftarah was the first chapter of Yirmiyahu going into the second chapter, three psukim into the second chapter. The second haftarah that we're going to learn today picks up right after that, the fourth pasuk of the second chapter until the end of that chapter. Of course, this coming Shabbat is going to be an interesting one by virtue of the fact that it's going to be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Av. Now, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh has a Haftarah all of its own. But the one that takes precedence is the Haftarah we're going to learn. We don't read the Haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, because the three haftarot of punishment are established by the Gemara, the Talmud, and therefore that takes precedence. There are some communities in which they read at the end, after they finish this haftarah, they read the first and the last pasuk of the haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. The truth is, I haven't seen it done. Thank you very much. I'm not going to be in my shul this Shabbos, so I'm wondering whether I should tell them what to do or what not to do, or just let all dash break loose, and those who say to say it, those who say not to say it, but probably in the interests of keeping peace in the 3 weeks, I'm going to let them know that I haven't seen places where they do that. We say this Haftarah, and that's it. So it's going to be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. It's the beginning of the 9 days, and it's unbelievable the extent to which this Haftarah becomes of such contemporary relevance, aside from the fact that there is what I consider to be a major fundamental principle in the study of Nevi'im and Ketuvim that emerges so clearly from this Haftarah, from this chapter in Yirmiyahu. And you will see it during the course of this year. You will recognize the principle that I'm talking about, because we mentioned it in passing last week, and we've mentioned it in passing in the past. But here we're going to see the principle, and it is a way of studying Tanakh, a way to make you through your way through some of the difficult portions of Tanakh. So here it is. This is really the second prophecy that God tells to Yirmiyahu. The first one we learned at the end of last week was Halach v'karaka ba'ozne Yerushalayim le'mor. Continue, go, tell, cry, call out into the ears of the people of Jerusalem, saying, Zocharti lo chesed miurayich, I remember the kindness of your youth, Ahavat kulotayich, the love that we had at that point when we were betrothed to one another, when I became your God and you became my people. Lech teich acharai b'midbar be'eretz lo zerua, that you went and followed me out into the desert. God says, just tell that to the people all the time. They have to remember that my love of Klal Yisrael is unconditional. And then that last pasuk was Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, the last pasuk of last week's Haftarah. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Israel is holy unto God. Reishit Vuato, the first of all that is His. Kol Ochlov Ye'eshamu, anyone who attempts to consume him will be held guilty for all time and will be punished. Let it be known that those who rise up against the Jewish people will receive their punishment. Now comes the first major prophecy. That previous one was to be told to them time and time again. They were supposed to be reminded that there's a relationship of love and there's a covenant that exists between God and the Jewish people. This Haftorah, this prophecy, is being said about 40 years before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. In this Haftorah, Yirmiyahu is not even telling them yet about the Churban HaBayit. Nobody is even considering that. It wouldn't occur to anybody. For all intents and purposes, Israel was maybe living through a period of peace or tranquility. And as we know already, that every period of tranquility is unfortunately temporary in nature. What they would call it here today is there was a rigi'ah. A rigi'ah. How do you say rigi'ah in English? Like a respite. Good word. A respite between one state of terrorism and the other. A lull. Okay, call it a lull, that's fine. Okay. Shilu Devar Hashem Beit Yaakov, hear the word of God, the house of Yaakov, the Chomish Bechot Beit Yisrael, and all of the families of the house of Israel. What is being said here is addressed not only to the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin. He's speaking in Yerushalayim. The 10 tribes have already gone off into exile, but are still those patches of them who remain, and maybe the message is a message that's to go out to all of them where they may be out there in the exile. Ko amar Hashem, so says God. And there's something very, very beautiful about the way this begins. I can imagine, so to speak, God is pleading. He's pleading with his people. It's unbelievable. Strong, mighty, all-powerful, omniscient God. Ma motzu avoteichem bi'ovel. What wrong? What did your forefathers find in me that's wrong? Ki rochaku me'olai. That they have distanced themselves from me. Vayelchu acharei ha'hevel. And they went after nothingness. Vayehebolu. And they became nothing. Of course, the meaning on its simplest level is they followed idols. And you know, you follow idols, you follow Narishkeit, werden vernarischt. They followed nothing, and they became nothingness. An unusual word by Yehebalu. Hebel is nothing. I mean, we know the word Hebel from Shir HaShirim. Havel havolim amar koheles, hakol havel. Everything is nothing, says Shlomo HaMelech in Sefer Koheles. So Dover at the end of the Sefer, he says, the end of all is, the only thing that's important is the fear of God. Et Elokim Yorei U'mitzvotav Shemor. Fear God and keep his mitzvot. Otherwise it's all heaven. And here it is. What was wrong? You know what? Pleading. What did I do wrong? V'lo Omru. And they didn't say, Aye Hashem Hamalo Tanu Yeretz Mitzrayim, where is God who brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Hamalicho Tanu Bamidbar, the one who led us through the desert, Be'eretz Arava V'shucha, a land of Aravana. There are different levels over here. Midbar is a place that where there is very sparse vegetation. An arava is an area where there's a little bit of vegetation, and it can be made fruitful, but for all intents and purposes, it's desolate. Shucha already are something like cliffs that are dig into the earth, a foreboding kind of land. Have you ever been through the Machteshim? Like I'm talking like a. The last time I was through the Machtesh was 50 years ago. Shandan Acharpa. It's what? It's unbelievably beautiful. Aha. Okay, I know my wife would say the same thing. I think you got it from the same sources. That's okay. You know, but that's okay. Eretz Midbar, Arava, Shucha, Be'eretz Tzia. Tzia is so dry. You're supposed to get thirsty when you say the word Tziyah. Tzalmaves, the shadow of death. Shadow of death, Tzalmaves. Be'eretz lo'ov ha'ba'ish, a land that no man ever passed through, v'lo yoshav odom sham. Certainly no man ever sat down there to inhabit it. Settle it, yes. All right. Why did you use that? That's the word where no man has settled. Oh, all right, okay. And it's legitimate, I can use it. God is reminding them, we have a history together. I took you out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. Doesn't this sound like Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God? Asher hotzeiticha me'aretz Mitzrayim. I took you through that desert. Remember, what's the ongoing message to the Jewish people? Zacharti lo chesed liurayich ahavat klulotach lechpeich ahavai bamidbar. Don't you remember all of that? I took you, 2 million, 3 million people, 40 years through desert, through arid land, dry, a place that is absolutely uninhabitable. You don't remember all that? V'aviyatchena leretz ha'karmel, and I brought you to the land that is so fruitful. The word Karmel has all sorts of meanings. In it you hear the word kerem, vineyard. It also means kar and mal, those are the parts of grain. I brought you el eretz ha'karmel. Le'achol piryav tuva, to eat her fruit and the good of land. And you know what you did? Va'tavo va'tamut arsi, you've come and you have made my land and you've contaminated my land. V'nachalati, and my heritage, samten l'to'eva, you have turned into an abomination. Interesting how the pasuk has arsi v'nachalati side by side. In what way have you contaminated the land? How? Ha-Kohanim lo amru ayei Hashem. At moments of crisis, the Kohanim didn't say, where's God? V'tosei ha-Torah, even those who hold on to the Torah, and doesn't mean real Talmidei Chachamim or pious Kohanim. Tosei ha-Torah, in other words, it's possible to hold on to the Torah, but lo yadoni, they didn't know me. V'haroim, the shepherds, the leaders of the Jewish people, Poshubi, they have sinned against me, they betrayed me. Vanavim Nibu Baal, the prophets have prophesied in the name of Baal. Baal was one of the famous idols of the time. Vacharei Lo Yo'ilu Halachu. And they followed that which doesn't help, is of no avail. Extremely, extremely significant word. By the way, this is the second significant word that I pointed out. The first one was Vayelchu acharei ha-hevel vayehebalu. They went after nothingness and they became nothing. And now it says they followed lo yo'ilu, that which can't help. And we assume, of course, that we are talking about the deities of wood and gold and silver. V'chein od orivitchem nimashem. I will still continue to contend with you. In other words, there's going to be an ongoing dialogue. And the dialogue of Riv is a dialogue that's sharp and cutting and biting. It's not simply two people sitting around and schmoozing. This is not going to be a chat room discussion. This is going to be a struggle between the two of us. And I know that this struggle is going to go on with your children's children. Because now we can hear God becoming more aggressive in a sense. He begins by saying, what did you find wrong with me? What did I do wrong? What did I ever do to you? I did so much for you. What he's talking about is they're ungrateful. And they're not even asking, what did you do for me lately? They have forgotten everything. I brought you here. I took you out of bondage. I took you through a terrible, terrible terrain in order to get you here. I've been watching you, taking care of you, guiding, standing beside you. And there's no relationship. He says, take a look. Cross to the islands of the Kittim. Islands of the Kittim. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean islands surrounded by water. Land along the shores. The Kittim can be someplace around Greece. The land of the Kittim. Ivru Kittim Uru'u. And see. The Kedar Shilhu. Send to Kedar. Kedar is the Arabian Peninsula, the land of the Bedouins. Send to Kedar the Hezbonu Miod, and think about it very, very carefully. Hein Haita Kazot. Was there ever anything of the sort? Did anything of this sort ever happen? And he's going to ask the great question. Do you know of any nation that has traded in their god for another god? Well, furthermore, have you ever heard of any nation that would trade in a god who is the Almighty for something that's nothing? Makes no sense. Ha-heimir goy Elohim, has a nation ever traded in its god? And behem alo Elohim, they're not gods. Va'ani heimir kevodo, my people has traded in, handed in what is their honor and their glory, me, below your ill, for something that doesn't help. We have the word again. Lo yo'il. We had it a few psukim earlier, pasuk 8, v'acharei lo yo'il v'lochu. Shomu shomayim alzot. Shomu shomayim alzot. Here the translation says, mourn, O heavens, over this. I don't know why they must have some source for shomu shomayim. Shomu comes from the word shimama. The heavens should be desolate about this. V'sa'aru. They should be stormy. Chorviyot. Completely destroyed, me, O Hashem. In other words, this is something that should shake the very foundations of the heaven. It's a Himmel Geshrei. Jews have traded in their God for nothing. And Goyim, you understand, will remain steadfast with everything from Buddha to Zen to Hare Krishna, the whole, all of the Avodah Zarah of the world, and you traded me in for nothing. For nothing. Shomu Shamayim Olam. Kishtayim ra'ot oso ami, my people has done two things wrong. They made two tragic mistakes. Oti osvu, me they forsook, and do you know what I am? I, God, am the kor bayim chayim, I am the source of living waters, so you forsook me. And what did you go do? You went to dig wells of your own, you understand? From which I'm the real flowing waters that are eternally refreshing. And you went to dig for yourself borot. And you know what kind of borot? And the borot that we're talking about here is a hole that's supposed to hold water. It's not a bor beit vavresh. A bor beit vavresh is something that has a spring beneath it, and there are always fresh waters coming. You went and you dug for yourself. You dug for yourself cisterns, and you know what kind of cisterns you broke for yourself. You dug for yourselves broken ones, borot nishpadim, asher lo yachilu hamayim, that are not going to hold. They're not going to hold water. They're not going to hold water. So what have you done? I'm your best friend. I've done more for you than anybody else. I'm the only one in the world who has the power, the strength, and the might. I can do anything. I can take care of you in any moment in history. And you forsook me. I did so much for you. I've always been there for you. And you forsook me. Ha'eved Yisrael? Is Israel a slave? And you live by it? Or is he somebody who was born into slavery? There are two kinds of slaves. There's one that you buy, say he was a free man who becomes a slave. Or there's one who's born while parents are in slavery. Madua Hayalabaz. Why is Israel? Well, now there are a number of meanings of the word lavaz. The word lavaz in its main meaning is one who is spoil is taken from him. He's robbed. He's robbed of whatever it is. Lavaz also has the meaning of buzz, shameful. What are you? You're a slave? You're born into slavery? Why are you a source of shame in the whole world? Why do I look down on you? All of Yishagu Kifinim, young lions roar at them. Everybody in the world feels they can open up a mouth against the Jewish people. Everybody has something to say. If you're the mayor of London, you can say, Kol Shtus Vaeva. I don't understand those Jews in London. How did they ever elect them? Helen, it's okay. I don't mean you. What are you talking about? Not new Kolom. They give up. They raise their voice. And you know what else they've done? Vayoshitu Arzo L'shama. They have made his land, Eretz Yisrael, they've made it desolate. They've laid it waste. Orov, I tell you, I read this and it almost shakes me. Orov nitztu mibli yoshev. His cities have been devastated and nobody living there anymore. That certainly is what has happened in... I'm not going to talk about... that was done to the 10 tribes. So they restored our people if we do it ourselves. That's just... Hang hoitokazot. Was there ever anything of this sort? Now watch. Gam b'nei nof v'tach panches yir'uch kadkol. The people of Nof and the people of Tachpanches will smash your skull. Nof and Tachpanches were two major cities in Egypt. Egypt is going to become a major player in this chapter in Yirmiyahu. Vato, hello, Zot. Tarselok, do you know why you're suffering so much from the people of Noth and Tachpanches? Do you know why they feel that they are able to abuse you to no end? Hello, Zot. Tarselok, Ozvech et Hashem Elokayach. This is being done to you because you forsook God your God. Be'et Molichech. While he is leading you on the road. Derech is the history of the Jewish people. God is leading us through history. If we forsake him, we leave ourselves open to the abuse of the nations of the world. Now here is the most I think this is a crucial pasuk. Va'ato, Malach l'derech Mitzrayim. What are you doing on the road to Egypt? What's life in Egypt, Arai? What are you making agreements with Egypt? You can trust them. You can depend on them. Just remember. Yes, this is being said by Yirmiyahu 2,700 years ago. Malach l'derech Mitzrayim. What are you doing on the way to Egypt? Lishtot mei shichor, to drink the waters of the shichor. That's another name of the Nile. You're going to get refreshing waters and sustenance from there. Umalach l'derech Ashur. What are you doing on the road to Ashur? Lishtot mei nahar, to drink the waters of the river Euphrates. Filoister, Vikhirster. I cannot translate that. Where are you climbing? Where are you going? They're going to protect you. They're going to come to your aid and your assistance. They're going to make sure that no weapons get through the Philadelphia corridor. They already signed the agreement, you understand, the great agreement, this morning's paper, Meshugoyim. The cat is going to guard the milk. The Rosh Merusha, who has made sure that weapons have come in for the last 20, 30 years, he's going to guard it. It's on this. Yirmiyahu, push it. Yirmiyahu must be turning over in his grave. Malach l'derech Mitzrayim. Malach l'derech Ashur. You have to understand the word. The word derech is also one of the crucial words. There's derech Hashem, you forsook God be'et molicheich badarech, while He's leading you on the road. And you're traded in for what? The road that leads to Egypt, the road that leads to Ashur. This is such a crucial, crucial pasuk, because this pasuk therefore sheds light on everything we've said till now, and this pasuk sheds light on our understanding of all of the Nevi'im. I have said it time and time again, that when the prophets speak out against idolatry, in the smallest sense, it refers to idols. There may have been a very small number of Jews who worshipped idols. The idol worshippers keep zoning in. There never were a large number of idol worshippers. We once gave a shiur years ago to prove that from a different parak in Tanakh. But here we're going to deal with the proof that emerges here. When the Navi is speaking about idol worship, the Navi is speaking about anything that we do that demonstrates that we are not placing our trust in God. And the moment we enter into alliances with the likes of Egypt and Ashur, we are in fact demonstrating that we don't place our trust in God, but we place our trust, so the Eibush Terapiten, in Mitzrayim and in Ashur. Yisrael, the Tach Ba'Hashem, Yisrael is supposed to have great trust in God. Now, to prove the point, watch, turn over. I have, on this sheet I have the beginnings of chapter 30 in Yeshayahu and the beginning of chapter 31. There are going to be such similarities in words. You're going to see Yeshayahu saying it so clearly. And by the way, it occurs to me now that when Yirmiyahu, who comes after Yeshayahu, quite a bit after Yeshayahu, maybe 100 years after him, when he says the psukim that he has just enunciated in his chapter 2, people are listening to know already to relate it to what had been said to them 100 years earlier by Yeshayahu. Watch, chapter 30. It's unbelievable, these psukim. Hoi vanim solim, woe to you wayward sons, Noam Hashem, says God. Lasot eitzah v'lo mini, you take counsel, advice, you make all sorts of decisions, but it doesn't come from me. V'linsoch masecha, and you accept a ruler upon you, a nasich, a prince upon you, and it's not according to my spirit, it's not what I'm happy with. Leman svot chatat al chatat, by going ahead and making your own decisions without turning to me, you add sin upon sin. What is it that they're doing? Ha'holchim l'redet Mitzrayim, those who go down to Egypt, ufi lo sha'alu, they didn't ask me. La'oz b'ma'oz paro, their fortress, their stronghold is going to be the strength of Paro. V'la'hasod b'tzeu Mitzrayim, and to find cover, shade in the shadow of Egypt. Egypt is going to help us out. Oh God. So you should know, v'ha'yolachem ma'oz paro l'boshed, the fortress of Paro is going to be a source of great shame. They're laughing at you, and it's not going to work, and it's going to be a profound tragedy, and you're going to turn around and you're going to see, how did we make such a tragic mistake? V'hechasud b'tzeil Mitzrayim, and attempting to find shelter in the shadow of Mitzrayim is going to be l'chlima, an absolute humiliation. Ki hayu b'tzoan sarav. Tzoan is another city in Egypt. The officers, it may be talking about the officers of Israel, went to Tzoan. Umalachov Chanes Yakiyu, and messengers reach even Chanes, another place there. Kol Hovish. Everybody is ashamed. Watch. Watch. Proof positive that what I'm saying is true. They're placing their trust on a people that can't help, they're of no avail. How many times was that pulp, that term used over here in Yirmiyo to describe idolatry? Lo le'ezer v'lo le'ho'il. Lo yo'il. Now, Yeshayahu is spelling it out. You know who's the one that you can't depend on? Do you know who's the one who's of no avail? Egypt. Lo le'ezer v'lo le'ho'il. He's not going to help. He's not going to be beneficent. Ki levoshet v'gam l'cherpa. It's going to be a shame and an embarrassment. We've got to keep all the words. Boshes, chlima, cherpa. Yes. Yes. They were the superpowers. They were, you're absolutely right. Mitzrayim and Ashur were the superpowers. You can apply it today, if you wish, to the United States or to, you can't help it, France and England. You know what? Mitzrayim is just plain Mitzrayim too. By us in its most contemporary, it's garnished. You understand? A pasuk in Navi has eternal validity. This Yeshayahu and this Yirmiyahu were talking to us on the second, is it the second day of August? Chav something or other, Tammuz, Tavshin, Samachay. He's talking to us. And by the way, don't most of us know it? Don't most of us walk around thinking, Shukoyim? We're breaking the treaty that we made years ago to keep all Sinai demilitarized, and we're bringing in Egyptian soldiers back there. They're going to stand there on guard. Don't you dare touch a hair on yon Jewish head. I feel embarrassed. I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, I'm humiliated. Parshat Yeshayahu said it well. If you'll just, let's read the next sutra. Oh, great, sukkah. Maso bahamot negev be'edet sorov and sukkah. Lovey the lightest. Mayhem efa v'sorov v'ofeis.
Yisu al kosev ayodim chelein mal babeshes gemalim otzrosa.
It sounds difficult, but it's a description. It's a description of Jews sending gifts to Egypt.
Masor bahamot negev.
The burdens that are on the animals that go to the south, and they go through the land of Tzora and Tzuka, the desert, Lavi v'layish, where there are I don't know, tigers and lions and lions, yes, okay. Mehem efor v'sorof ma'ofei, there are all sorts of poisonous snakes over there. Yisua al ketef ayadim, they carry their wealth upon the shoulders of young donkeys. Bal dabeshet gemalin otzerukam. You know what the dabeshet of a gamal is? The hump of a camel. They send all sorts of gifts. Camels sending gifts to Egypt. To whom? Again, the key word. Al-am lo yo'ilu. A people that can help. The word lo yo'ilu is used a number of times here to describe Mitzrayim. Yirmiyahu used it to describe idolatry. The idolatry is depending on Mitzrayim. U'mitzrayim hevel barik ya'azoru. Mitzrayim is nothing. Absolutely nothing. What was the first word Yirmiyahu said? Vayelchu acharei ha-hefel vayehebolu. They went after nothingness and they became nothingness. You want to know who's nothing? Mitzrayim is hevel. Mitzrayim is nothing. Alright, let's go to chapter 31.
Hoy hayardim Mitzrayim le'ezra. Again, Yishayahu. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Al susim yisha'enu. They rely on horses. Remember, the code word for Mitzrayim is always sus. Always sus. Because horses came from Egypt. Al susim yisha'enu also represents the idea that we place our trust and our faith in the strength of Egypt. And they placed their trust on chariots, kichav, all the many chariots, val paroshim, and cavalry, kiyot, smumo, dramayim, below sho'u, al kadosh Yisrael. And they didn't lean or turn. They didn't turn to the Holy One of Israel. Ve'at Hashem lo paroshim. They didn't seek out God. Lo sho'u. Where do you have that word show? When Cain and Hevel bring their sacrifices, it says, "Ayisha Hashem el Hevel be'el minchato." God turned to Hevel, and what he brought, v'lo shoah, he did not turn to that which Cain brought. V'gam hu chacham v'yovei ra. There's the Voroblo Hesir, the Kong of Beit Mireim, Val Ezrat Poale Oven. God, he is also wise, and he has brought calamity. He did not retract his words. He will rise up against the house of evildoers and against the assistance of those who commit sin. Now, the next passage. If we haven't proved it till now, here is the proof. Umitzrayim Odom Voloheil. Mitzrayim is a human being of flesh and blood, not a god. V'susehem basar, their horses are flesh, v'lo ruach, no spirit in them. And you know what can happen to all of the Mitzrayim's horses, all the king's horses, and all the king's men? V'ashem yateh yado, God stretches out his hand, v'choshal ozer. The one who comes to help is going to stumble, the mafal azur, and the one who's to be helped will fall, the yacht of kulam yichloim, and together all of them are going to be destroyed. Yeshayahu is making it very clear By the way, of course, you have to understand that there's something very significant about what Yeshayahu is saying here, and certainly about what Yirmiyahu is saying. You'll find the same thing in Hosea, you'll find it in Amos and Micha. These are prophets who are advising in matters of, I'll say the word, politics. Now, prophet, go thee out to the hills and speak of not matters of politics. That's for dumb Chavrei Knesset. They're the ones who have to make this, need these decisions. Guys who either didn't finish high school or got a phony degree from the University of Latvia. They are the ones who can make the great and weighty decisions nowadays. But not prophets, not rabbis. We would be better off if we would have 120 taxi drivers in the Knesset. Right? Yeshayahu is saying it, and Yirmiyahu is saying it, by the way. By the way, it's more than that. Kings of Israel did make treaties with Egypt and Assyria. They would be betrayed every time. They never came to their aid and their assistance. At one point, Mitzrayim started to come out to do something or feign the fact that they're coming to the aid of the assistance. They turned around. They never helped us. They never helped us. Never worked. And by the way, the same mistake was made by different kings at different times. They didn't learn from the mistake of a previous king. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They made the same mistakes over and over again. There's something about mistakes that having them the element of eternity. They keep making mistakes all the time, the same mistakes. The point being, therefore, that whenever the Navi talks about Jews worshipping idols, never make the mistake of thinking that there was mass idol worship by the Jewish people, and therefore, of course, it would mean that we're so much better. None of us has ever worshipped an idol, and we get this picture of the days of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, that wherever you went, Jews were rubbing out their pants, bowing down to idols. We're so much better than enough. The idols that it talks about is placing one's faith and trust in any power aside from God. Now watch. A few psukim further, over here in Yeshayahu, Pasuk Zion, Ki Bayom Hahu, on that day, Yimosun Ish Elilei Kaspo VeElilei Zahavo. Every man is going to despise the gods of silver, the gods of gold. Asher also lechem yedeichem, that you had hands made, and they were a chait. And to say, why will they reject their idols? Because the idols are going to be idols that fail. The nofal Asher, the chet of Loish. You run after Asher. Asher is going to fall by the sword, and not by the sword of man. Do you know what Yeshayahu is referring to? Sanchedef, king of Ashur, and his forces are going to surround Jerusalem, waiting for the final thrust to bring the city down. And the angel of God is going to swoop down upon the camp of Ashur that night, and 185,000 soldiers are going to die. The Chedef lo Adam tochlenu, and a sword that's not human is going to consume them. He's going to flee. Some Chered and a few of his men are going to flee. So what do you need? What do you need it all for? What are you doing? What are you doing? Back to Yirmiyahu.
There are, by the way, other proofs in Tanakh. There are other proofs in Tanakh that when the Navi talks about idolatry, the Navi is not, under any circumstances, talking about mass movements of people who bowed down before all sorts of idols. It was their reliance on all sorts of alliances with other powers, and none of them ever cared about us. Nobody was ever interested. Nobody really wanted to help us. How can we fool ourselves? I don't understand. I can't for the life of me understand. I mean, here there's been sort of a new spring in relationships between Israel and France. It's all shaker. It's all nothing. The French always are great anti-Semitism, and they've begun to submit today. It's unbelievable. Let's go back to Yirmiyahu. It's very painful. What's most painful is that the country is turning their most loyal and patriotic citizens into a force against them. That's one of the great tragedies that's taking place. They will sit around and talk with every Abu Shmabu and Dachlam Yimashmai Vizichrayim. And the most loyal, patriotic segment of the community, they're dashing down into the earth. And the Vetnaikin Zayin, it's not going to pass easily. We're moving into one of the most painful and difficult periods of the history of the modern state of Israel. I don't know where we're going to end up. Nothing good is going to come out of it. Nothing good is going to come out of it. I said, this past Shabbos, we had a family gathering, children, grandchildren. All right, we have a few grandchildren that to get to this Shabbos, they had to make their way out of Gush Katif. Understand? They made it. Some of these kids are able to go in and out like as though there are no borders and there are no police. So I had a few of them. Every day I made it out. Thursday morning, the radio reported, I think, about three times. I didn't even see it in the papers afterwards. There was a report from the Mishrat HaChutz that there are 20,000 Tarmila'in in Hodu. Tarmila'in are Israeli students with backpacks. There are 20,000 Israeli students, either before army or after army, doing Kol Dovar Aser in India. They have become, the Mishrat HaChutz foreign ministry says that they have become a tremendous embarrassment to the state of Israel, because so far 13 of them have already been arrested for bringing in drugs. They are major importers of drugs to India. Now, I made the comparison. In Kfar Maimon and in Gush Katif, we have 40,000 backpackers. Take a look at the difference between Israeli backpackers in India and in Thailand and in who knows where other Horei Koshach, and 30,000-40,000 teenage kids backpackers that are fighting with everything they have for Eretz Yisrael. Not a difference. Take a look between one and the other. And a country doesn't understand the flower of its great youth. And they're going to run after them, and they're going to beat them, as they already have, and they're holding who knows how many in solitary confinement. This is not madness. I don't know. You want to know what the Navi's response is? Pasuk 19. Tiyasreich ra'atech umishuvotayech tokichoch udi'ir iki zavo marazeich mashem lekayach v'lo parhudati elayich num mashem kintzakot. The most important words over here are the first four words. Tiyasreich ra'atech. Your evil is going to cause you suffering. Sometimes you think that suffering, you know, has to be a punishment from God. I do something bad, and then presto, abracadabra, the Rebbeinu brings suffering upon me. It doesn't have to work that way. The very evil that man does comes back to haunt him, and that in and of itself, the suffering and the punishment is built into the sin. The fellow who sins and his conscience drives him mad. The one who sins, and as a result of this, he is embarrassed, his family is shamed, he ends up, who knows, in prison. The very evil that he did is already going to cause him suffering. Your rebelliousness, that in and of itself is going to be what admonishes you. God isn't going to have to make any kind of unusual divine suffering for you. You create the suffering yourself. It's exactly what's happening. Exactly what's happening. We are the architects of our own suffering. And gaining nothing, and alienating the most exceptional part of our society. When I started writing, I always thought that Chelm was a fun place. Chelm wasn't a fun place. Chelm was profound tragedy. And if you want to see how tragic Chelm is, just read the paper every day. We're living in Chelm. Nothing makes sense except that the intelligent people try to talk intelligently about the great stupidities that are being done. That was Chelm. They were able to intellectualize the worst stupidity. We are unfortunately blessed with a lot of intellectuals who express a lot of stupidity. But you know that's my old, I'm an anti-intellectual, and I become more anti-intellectual every day. Thank God I'm not a spaced out intellectual. Ivy Tower intellectual. Thank God I'm not that. Kimei Olam, Pasuk 20, Kimei Olam Shavarti Uleichai. I always was the one who broke the yoke of the enemy from you. Nitakti Mosrotayach. The word Nitakti shakes me up over here in this context. Nitakti, I am the one who removed the ropes that bind you. Vatomri, and you said, Lo Evar, I'm not going to be, I won't transgress anymore. And then the end is, despite all of your promises, I'll call Yivhar Gavoa V'tachat Kol Eitz Ranon, on every hill and under every fresh tree, up so on Zona. You rebel or move away from me. You wander like a harlot at Soazora. Vanochi netatich sorek. I had planted you. Sorek is a strong, fruitful tree. Kulo zera emet, all seeds of truth. Veich netachli. How did everything turn over? Surei ha-gefen nochriyo. You became a vine that is strange and foreign. This also is a throwback to the famous chapter 5 of Yeshayahu. O shidamo liyididi, shidas dodi lekamo, kedem hoyo liyididi, bekedem ben shomen, vayazkehu, vayisaklehu, vayitoehu, so reik. God says, sing a song about my vineyard. I planted my vineyard in the finest of places. I removed the stones. I made a wall around it. I did all I could to make it a beautiful vineyard. Vayitoehu so reik. And it planted it so reik, the same words that I use there. And the end was, vayikav la'asot anavim. And he had hoped that grapes would come. Vayaz b'ushim. And what came out were sour, unripe grapes. Same words are being, same idea. Ki im zechav siva meteh. Even if you will use all sorts of detergents and you're going to use a lot of soap, the stain of your sin is before me. Le'om Hashem Elokim, says God. This pasuk always reminds me of one of the famous shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says that sin, you need to do tshuva for a sin. And there are two terms that I've used by Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, about forgiveness. There is kapara and there is tahara. Kapara means that you did tshuva and therefore God is mochel and he will not bring punishment. That's kapara. Clean the slate. But sin not only must bring punishment in its wake, sin also stains and soils the neshama. If the tshuva is done that removes punishment, then becomes the more serious and more difficult task. And that is to cleanse the neshama, to cleanse the mind of all the soil and stain that there is there as the result of the sin. So he says, you're going to do tshuva, but you should know the stain, nichtav amech l'fanai. The stain is still there. It's still there. Oh, it's such a painful, haftarah. Let's read just the last two chapters.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The only thing is, these last two psukim don't end on a good note, and therefore, wait, no! You'll have to look in your chumashim, and in the chumashim, there's another pasuk, two psukim, three chapters later, that are read in order to end on a good note. I didn't have enough place on the bottom of the page to put it in. So I want to tell you, you're right, Sarah. But at least chapter 2 ends with Omdila Eitz Oviyata, one who says to her, Ashtik holds you, are my father. Vola Eden, Adjilidetanu, to stone, he says, you gave birth to me. Kiponu Eli Orif, they turned their backs on me. Vola Panim, Ubeidrotan, and when things go bad for them, they say, Kuma Voshien, Oy, Rabbein Shalom, please help us. Where are the gods that you made for yourself? You're cool, let them come up. Yeah, go to Mitzrayim, let Mitzrayim help you, let Asher help you. Go ahead, Kandalisa Reis, understand? Dubi and Kandi, understand? Kandalisa Reis. In Yoshua, go, let's see if they can help you, Be'etrate. But then there are two sukkim that we add from chapter 4 where it says, Tevra, you're going to do tshuva, you know what you should do? Come back to me. I'm ready to accept you. I'm waiting for you to come. I want you to turn to me. I want you to turn to me and forget about everything else. nobody's going to help you. There isn't a soul in the world who cares about you. I care about you more than all of the rest. And the further that you move away from reliance and trust and faith in me, the worse it's going to be for you. Okay. It's not going to get better by next week. Even though the end of Haftarah next week is going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, Bechlau. Don't get me wrong, it's going to be okay. My promise, yeah, my wife always wants to know if I promise. It's going to be okay.